We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebbe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
The Instigators with Andrew and Craig on the home of the Buffalo Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG.
I can't wait till Wednesday to get on with those guys so I can have ribs about that game-winning goal he got in the playoffs. Would you ever believe that happened?
No.
Neither did I. I think it's... I don't know. If it was April 1st, I'd believe it, but...
It's a fallacy, right?
Something wrong there.
On the Bruins line and over is Kennedy, who slides it over to the side. Rive shoots one. Score! Tim Kennedy slips it back to the captain. He bends it home. 2-1 Buffalo.
Craig Rive realized to get the puck to the net. The way we've talked all night here, great things are going to happen. And once again, they had traffic going to the net, opened it up for him. It was a great shot.
He loved short side. He loved shorts going short side, Craig Rive. What do you got to say for yourself now, Rob? Now that he's here face to face, you got anything to say?
All I got to say is I got three. Two of them game winners.
Three playoff goals.
One on Martin Brodeur and one on Patrick Roy. Top that.
Playoffs?
Yep.
You also had the one against the Leafs, didn't you? Was that Curtis Joseph?
Yeah. But that just won the game. That wasn't a. And then single-handedly broke their backs, and we went up to Toronto the next night and whooped them. So I'm going to take credit for it. And then I threw Toronto into a 10-year downward spiral.
Yeah, you put them in the toilet, didn't you, for a while? Yeah, you did.
Crumbled.
You did. They did crumble. They were under a lot of heat up there. Riv, what's up with this guy?
What's up with what guy? Rob Wright? I immediately turn it off as soon as he starts to speak at that time. My kids are usually sitting with me. I don't want him to burn me. So I just press pause and I start asking about their day. And then, you know, 5 minutes later,
you can't wait till we read that every night just to see.
There was a night
happen.
Where he missed the game, Razor, and Craig texts me. He goes, "Hey, what did Rob say about me?" That's not true. I wish I played with you. Well, I followed it up with saying it's not true. So, you know,
I would have had you wound up every day. Every day.
I don't know about that, Rob. I don't think so.
If we played together, I would have had you wound up all the time.
I actually think it might have been the other way around.
I could be the first guy to make you cry. Let me tell you something.
No.
What about the day that Craig yelled at you because you were crumpling your paper and you hung up?
Well, that's just being childish.
I know. I just joke.
That's just being a child. Oh, you're disrupting the show. Oh, really? And your mic cutting out 35 times.
Well, we're a very Rob, I need to ask you. We're a very serious show. Like, we're supposed to be very, very serious. This is a very serious broadcast. and we are delivering very serious news here.
Yeah. But that's why people tune in, because
we need to stop with the antics. We need to calm down with the antics because nobody wants to have fun.
All right. Next game, you're not getting a peep.
Yeah. Well,
just let them do the read and it's over.
We should just read our show for now on. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Game tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Game Friday, 7 o'clock. And a reminder, no Elliot Friedman tomorrow. If you recall, he wanted to take the week off. So he's off tomorrow. Darren Dreger will be with us on Friday. So I was saying in the last hour, actually, as we watched the Sabres against a very – are they a cup contender, the Bruins? Are they a cup contender? Do you consider them a favorite?
I think maybe coming out of this side, I think they got a good shot at it.
I thought it would be clear-cut Washington, but I wonder if goaltending comes down.
I don't think so. I don't know. You're watching them lately, and, you know, they can be good, but they can be unbelievably bad too. And yeah, we just got done talking about, hey, you want to be playing at the top of your game right now? I go back to Washington, and Rivs, you might be able to. Their D, it's not young. It's 31, 33, 35, Charlie 40. And these guys have played a tremendous amount of hockey this year with no rest. You get what I'm saying? And at some point, that has got to become a factor. And I would almost think that, you know, the coach at some point here in these last 10 games would start getting some of those guys some days off. And I'm not talking a day off from practice. I'm talking a day off from a game.
Yeah. Well, Zdeno Chara is out. I don't know if he's dealing with an injury or what's happening with him, but he's been out for a little while. And if it's for rest purposes or whatever, I mean, they need to start laying some of those D in the stands. I mean, give them some time off. Give some of these older guys. This is not a young team. They're very, very strong in their first two lines, and they're going to win and lose with those first two lines. But I'm going to tell you this, gentlemen, would not by any stretch of the imagination keep the Islanders out of this conversation. And I know that the Islanders, you can't even hardly name me who's on their bloody defense. I don't even know who their six guys are. I could name a few of them, but they're not household names. They're not star players. You look at their forwards, you know, you obviously talk about their fourth line, which is probably more important to their team than, you know, their top line. I mean, their fourth line plays exceptionally hard in Casey Tzikas and Clutterbuck, and who's our other guy?
Big man.
Come the on, big Martin. Guy. Martin.
Big boy.
Matt Martin. they just, it's what worries me when you talk about Pittsburgh, when you talk about the Washington Capitals, when you talk about the Boston Bruins. They have elite, elite offensive abilities. But what all of those teams don't have is what the Islanders have, and they are elite defensively. I truly believe that the Islanders have offense. They have guys that can score and put the puck in the net, but the team is based around defense first. I don't care if you're Matt Barzal. I don't care if you're Jordan Eberle. I don't care who you are on that team. Everybody understands that defense is what they are all about.
Yeah.
And they get those Turner helps their offensive guys. Too.
The way they play great team defense makes their goaltending look spectacular. It is good, but it makes it look spectacular.
That's right. I think the Islanders are going to be a very, very difficult team to beat this year.
Public service announcement. We're going to have a guest at 11:30. And we're going to look to squash a beef here on the Instigator. So you might want to hear this one. Instigators on WGR 550 and MSG. We're talking about the Bruins. I asked the guys, are they a cup contender? I think a lot of people would say that they are. I think they would say that they are. I think hockey experts like ourselves would say that they are. So when we watch the Sabres play against this team, and we want to see more than we saw in the first 40 minutes, who's the most important young piece that we should be watching here? Or who are the most important pieces? Because going forward, we don't know the direction of the team just yet, but who are the certainties that are going to be here for the long term and help turn this thing around after 10 years of missing the playoffs?
Well, I think if you look on D, it's got to be Darlene up front. It's Cousins. I think both those guys. I think Darlene is going to be the leader of your backside, and Cousins is going to be the driver up front.
I think Cousins can be and will be a very important piece for many, many years. What we've seen from this young guy in not even a full season. Has he even played 40 games this year?
No.
It's his defensive play at the age of 20 is better than a lot of players in the National Hockey League that have played 10 years in this league. He is already a very solid defensive player. He does have offensive abilities. We've already seen that. His speed at the ripe age of 20 is already above average in the NHL. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be even better when he's 22, 23, 24.
Yeah. It's the separation speed, Riz. When he gets the pocket, boom. He's not looking to make that play. He's looking to get that first three or four strides in, and then he's figuring out what's going on. Too many guys get the puck in their stick. They hesitate. The second it hits this kid's stick, he's explosive, and his first three, four steps are as good as anybody out there.
Yep. You know, this team it's very, very interesting. You know, you got Rasmus Dahlin, who's 20 years old right now. You got Joki Haru, who's 21. Samuelson's 21. Borgen is 24. Bryson is 23. Extremely young. We might not see Ristolainen back next year. We would have an extremely young defense corps. Very, very huge upside. Huge upside, but a very young defense corps. You look at the forward line in Casey Mittelstadt, 22. Dylan Cousins is 20. Tage Thompson's 23. Victor Olofsson, who's 25. Sam Reinhart's 25. Jack Eichel is 23. This is an extremely young team. I mean, there's a lot of really, really exciting pieces. What's more exciting is to see what the future holds and the decisions that are going to be made on certain players.
Well, we have a tweet here that lists, someone actually ranked the prospects of the Sabres. I mean, some of them I don't think you would consider prospects, but I think the most important pieces. Okay, so this is from F. Gundell. Number one, Dahlin, two, Cousins, three, Reinhardt, four, Borgen, five, Bryson, six, Thompson, seven, Samuelson, eight, Olofsson, nine, Asplund, 10, Risto.
Risto's been in the league for 8 years.
Maybe it's Ristolainen.
Maybe Ristolainen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds different.
But that's what we're watching right now. I mean, those are the players that we're talking about when I go all the way back to saying, like, you know, you commend these players for the way they play and how hard they play because of, I think we're forgetting everyone says young or old or whatever. Inexperience is what we're seeing on the ice right now. We're seeing a collective group of inexperienced NHL hockey players. And pardon?
These kids are getting the experience now, as I said, the best of the best.
That's right. And that's what I like about
it. And Dylan Cousins said it yesterday. He says, Don Granato has shown a tremendous amount of confidence in me. And he goes, it means the world. Because he's gone out there every night, had to face the number one centerman, you know, whether it's Washington, whether it's Boston, whether it's Pittsburgh. and he's going to learn from that. Like, as a guy down the depth charts, or you know, on the third, fourth, you're not getting the opportunity to play against Sidney Crosby. You're not getting a chance to play against Bergeron. He's getting the chance of a lifetime right now, and he's going to get it for the next 10 games or whatever we got left.
And are you talking about Cousins?
I'm talking Cousins. I'm talking all of them. Cousins right now, and you could put all of them in that factor, because every one of these young guys is getting the ice time. They're not sitting there getting 3, 4, 5 minutes a night. These guys are all getting 10 minutes a night. That's big minutes for a young kid against excellent, unbelievable, world-class players.
AC Mittelstadt was 20 minutes and 30 seconds last night.
Yes. He wouldn't play that in a week before.
Yep.
But he's earned it. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Tomorrow, 7 o'clock against the Bruins. Friday, 7 o'clock against the Bruins. And both on MSG and WGR 550. Mystery guest, surprise guest. Axe to grind, maybe. I don't know. We'll find out at 11:30. This is kind of a last. I'm pretty sure the entire hockey world knows this guy, so we'll talk to him at 11:30. Let's talk some stuff around the NHL right now. The last couple games. I mean, we missed the first one. We didn't talk about it, and then it happened again. Max Domi scratched for the second straight game in Columbus. This surprising to you guys?
What's the one thing that comes to mind when you hear that? Max Domi scratched.
Tortorella.
What? Like, I mean, what player in their right mind is going to want to show up to the Columbus Blue Jackets? These are decisions that the GM made to bring these players in, and you're going to bench. You're going to bench Max Domi? You're going to bench? He's benching everybody. At what point in time does he actually have to start? Is it? I understand about, like, benching guys. Or, you know, it just seems like the environment there, I don't think, is very positive. I don't think players are going to want to play there.
Would you?
Oh.
Would you, Rob?
If it was my only choice, yeah.
Okay.
But
that doesn't
one of those
sound
teams.
Promising for Columbus.
But that's one of the teams. They're sitting in 27th spot right now. As I said, 8 points ahead of the Sabres. And it's a zoo over there, but nobody ever says anything about it.
Tort's got to be done at the end of this year in Columbus. I mean, this has got to be it for him. I'm not saying fired his contract's up. What?
The money they've spent, the deals they've made, there has to be something changed there. Something has to change, and they've done virtually every player. I think it's time that Torts is probably the guy.
Would you bring him here?
No. My only thing with Torts is I love Torts. I think Torts is awesome, and he's a great human being. He's a good man. He's a great hockey mind. I just think the game and the player has changed so much that old school approach, I don't think works anymore.
I think it does. But you have to have, I think, an older team. I think guys that have been through, you know, some that have been in the league for a number of years that have a little bit thicker skin.
That's the only way. But how many guys out there got thick skin? There's a handful. There's a handful. These guys coming up through, I don't care if they're 25 now. They've been handled so differently than what, say, we were. They've never had that pressure on them. They've never had that, you know, that coach in their face, you know, and having to deal with those situations. Now to their point where they don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how to deal with that.
Yeah.
Chance we see UPL tomorrow night in the pipes, and I'm not sure, Riv, if you saw Spencer Knight played last night for your second favorite team, the Florida Panthers. A Mackenzie Wiegerless team, by the way, if you want to tell me why, what happened there. But Knight debut wins, 20 years old, no time in the minors, fresh out of college. You know, was it too soon for him?
Was it too soon?
That's a setup.
I mean, listen, I mean, what did he have, 33 saves last night in the Florida Panthers win? You know, this is a goaltender that was the highest pick goaltender in a long time, picked 13th overall, I think, to the Panthers. He didn't disappoint. I mean, I think he's a pretty special tender. The only problem that you're dealing with all of that is you've got a $10 million goaltender and Sergei Bobrovsky. This is a Vezina Trophy winner. How is that going to work? If you want to get in this Spencer Knight and play him and hope that he takes over the reins, what are you going to do? Take a $10 million goaltender and set him on the sidelines? It seems like a really great situation, but it's also a tougher situation that the Florida Panthers are in because, you know, Sergei Bobrovsky is making so much money, you got to play him.
Zach Bogosian, did you guys see his injury?
No.
We didn't.
I was working.
Okay. I don't think you want to see it. It's you know, I saw the picture and that's all I needed to see.
Yeah.
We're watching it here on MSG. If you're listening on WGR 550, we are also on MSG. And Bogosian goes into the boards last night. Scary moment. We'll wait to hear what's going on with him, but it just does not look good. I can't watch it. Ugly play. What do you have to say for Vancouver, fellas? They haven't played since March 24th, I think it was their last game. And here they are, you know, 20 some odd days and they're 2-0 since their COVID break against the Leafs. It's crazy.
Yeah, it could be a case, you know, they were arguing about coming back, having to come back so soon and guys still being out. You know, something like that draws a group together sometimes, you know, that may be just enough to say, hey, let's go show them. And they play a little differently, play a little harder.
And it also gave, you know, you got JT Miller that spoke up. He spoke up and said, I'm not ready to play.
Yep.
You know, I had COVID. It took a lot out of me. And I think that there's others that are in the same boat and we should not be playing. And what did the NHL do? They postponed those games a little bit longer to give a couple more days to these guys to get back, to get some practices under their belt. And obviously,
could the Sabres have done that all the way back after their time off? I sit and wonder. I mean, if that option was available.
Do you remember
them.
Taylor Hall? Taylor Hall came off the COVID list and I think played like the next night.
Yeah. Like where was all this sympathy and empathy for the Sabres back then? I mean, when they were, you know, these guys are getting rushed back to the lineup because they needed to play these games and get them back in because we were so concerned about the schedule as if we didn't think this was going to happen again.
Trials and tribulations of, you know, going through it, right? You know, going with the New Jersey situation and the Buffalo situation, you know, it hit both those teams really hard. And they, you know, they're the NHL. They're just thinking about, we got to get our games in. We got to get these guys back. We got to get these.
Who's going through it now? Colorado's got postponed games now.
Yeah.
And that's been how many times Colorado's been in that situation?
Two at least.
Yeah.
I'll look it up right now, but two at least. I know.
Colorado's scheduled to play on Thursday.
Yeah. So there was. Yeah, so Tuesday for sure. All right, we're going to go to break. We got a big guest coming up here. I mean, it's just kind of out of nowhere, kind of out of the blue. It's what we do around here. This will be fun, and everybody will know who this person is. And is it a beef we're going to squash? Maybe it's a misunderstanding. We'll have some little more light shed to it. You know, what really happened when this happened? How am I doing with the tease? Do you guys have any idea who I'm talking about?
I don't think you do.
I do, and it's going to be fun. Instigators, mystery guest coming up next, WGR 550 and MSG. You're not going to want to miss it.
T T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right. Good morning. We have a special. We have a special guest here. I was trying to get the boxing ring ding ding sound going. So, John Scott, NHL All-Star MVP, former Buffalo Sabre, and former number 32 jersey wearer in Buffalo. Good
Some
morning.
Would say the most famous number 32 ever to don the
joke,
jersey.
John.
Rob's upset, John.
Well, let me tell you a story. It's funny. When I came to Buffalo, they're like, "Do you want number 32?" And I was like, "Has anybody worn 32?" And like, no one of notice.
See, that's why I don't like you, John.
And I was like, "Are you sure?" And they're like, "Yeah, no one who was important." So I just took it.
Ouch. I don't even have anything to say. It's just sad. It's just sad.
No respect.
It's just really sad.
So
I want to know who the trainer was that offered you the 32. We need it out in the public.
It was Ripper.
Oh, Ripper.
No way. Ripper would never do that. It had to have been Babcock or somebody. That was the jersey they put in your stall.
I can't remember if it was George or Ripper, but I think it was Ripper.
Did you know that Rob wore 32, though, all kidding aside?
No, honestly, no. And I grew up watching the Sabres. I used to go to the games all the time. But I had, like, how do you know guys' number? Especially, I'd been in the league a few years. It's not something that was on my radar. I think I was 32 in Chicago. So when I came over, they just said, "You want to keep your same number?" And I was just like, sure. Number, I could care less what number I was wearing, really. When I went to Chicago, they're like, 32, that was Stu Grimson's number. And I was like, I don't really care. Like, it's just a number. It wasn't too important to me. So sorry, Rob.
I just wish they had given the number to somebody a little better looking.
It doesn't get much worse than me, I know.
I'm 100% agree with you.
Instigators joining us, John Scott. We were talking about 32 and wearing numbers, and Rob said, "Why isn't everyone that comes in here, they just keep giving 32 away?" And because now Tokarski's wearing it, and we talked about John Scott, and here he is. And Rob felt a little bit snubbed that he was. I asked him, John, I said, "Well, did John ask you?" He said, "No." "No, he didn't." I said, "Well, did the training staff ask you?" Because I assumed. So, John, knowing what you know now, wouldn't at least some permission be required?
Well, that's the thing.
Rob's walking away.
What echelon do you have to be at to get permission to wear a number? You know what I mean? Like, Rob was how many years removed from the Sabres before I wore that number? So, I guess the courteous thing would have give him a call, but I, like I said, I didn't even know he had the number.
You're afraid to, because of what I would say.
You spent more time out of that jersey than you did in the jersey. Let's be honest.
That thing?
One of the ugliest jerseys the Sabres ever made.
Oh, come on. You're kidding
come
me
on,
with that.
John.
There's the yellow one, the mustard yellow. That was the worst. And then that one's right
the turd burger.
Turd burger.
The red
and then you
one.
Got the slug.
You don't like the goat head, John.
That's
like
a jersey
this one instead,
there.
This is right there.
Oh, my autograph's still on it. Good.
Yeah, I bought that at an auction for $3 with your autograph on it.
Oh, there we go.
I had to pay for the credit card transaction. $3.
But I should have called you in retrospect. It would have been the classy thing to do to give you a buzz, Ray. I'm sorry. I should have.
It would have been a lot nicer to you over the years, too. And then my other big beef with you was, remember when you came in for the corporate challenge, the 3-on-3 tournament? And you hit me against the wall. And I literally, like, I had been out of shape for 10 years. And you crushed me against the wall. And it's like you ripped every bit of life out of my body. And I was just like, oh, my God. And I was done. For months, I struggled from that. I never got an apology from that either.
It was one of the things I had to assert myself as the alpha dog at the rink. And we went on to win that tournament. So it worked out well for me. But, yeah, again, I probably should have apologized for that.
There's something else. It's funny, John. That there was something else epic that came out of that corporate challenge. That was Craig Revay's first remote interview, if you remember.
It's a great time, the corporate challenge.
You ripped the game of hockey, bang. The love of hockey, right out of my soul that day as soon as you hit me. I said, that is enough. That is enough for me.
You got to lose it someplace sometime. So I'm glad I was a part of it.
Wow. I'm glad we were able to squash that. We want to talk some other hockey stuff. John, you have a podcast going on. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about stuff going on around the league. But can we fake a phone call to Rob as if you just arrived in Buffalo and you really wanted 32? And I want to hear what that conversation would sound like. If you don't mind, just a little bit of acting here.
Yeah, it would be like, hi, is Rob there?
I actually know he's working.
Good, because I don't care. Tell him I'm going to use his number. Breathe some life into
who
that.
Talking to. Oh, well. It's okay, John. You represented it very well.
Thank you. I think I scored.
You know what it was? That night in Toronto, remember when you had a little incident up there in Toronto? I think it was even exhibition, wasn't it?
Yes, that was exhibition.
That solidified it right there. At that point on, it was like it was fine because you represented the number, you know, to a T.
It was a good run in Buffalo. I was upset to leave. I really wanted to stay, but I wasn't in Terry Murray's plans. Is that his name? Terry Murray?
Tim Murray.
Close
Tim
Murray. Enough.
I wasn't
Close
in
enough.
Tim's plans.
Close enough. John
Did he
Scott.
Tell you the same as Jack Martin did when I went to Ottawa? You're not here because I wanted you. You're here because somebody else wanted you here.
Yeah, that's how it usually went down. I came in with Darcy Regier, and I loved Darcy. I loved Lindy Ruff. And when they left, I knew the writing was on the wall. I'm out of there. Yeah. It was fine.
John Scott joining us here. So what do you think of the Sabres right now? They made the coaching change. They have Don Granato. You know anything about Don Granato? And have you been watching the Sabres at all?
Yeah, I have because, like, I love Buffalo. I know I give them a hard time on my podcast here and there, but – I grew up right next to Buffalo in St. Catharines. So like I said earlier, I grew up watching the Sabres and he's got the team buzzing. It's nice to see some life on the ice a little bit. And I think the guys are responding to whatever he's doing. I don't know if he's giving them a pep talk before the games, but they have some jump. They have some life and it's nice to see them actually play some good hockey. It's really, really nice to see.
You feel
John, well. What's your podcast grief? Name?
Mine's Dropping the Gloves, obviously. What's that, you guys?
Hey, watch it.
No, it's just all a podcast. Get it, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. It's, you know, anyways.
You get some regular guests on there, some big name guys. You still think there's a need for, do I dare say, fighters in the game of hockey, John, or guys of the sort? I know you're a Gabriel fan, you know, Ryan Reeves type players. Do we see some of that coming back maybe?
Not exactly a Gabriel fan. I don't like his antics. I think they're childish and kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say pathetic, but I want to say pathetic. But I think there's a time and a place for a fight, just like you guys do. I think the role's changed. I think you're not going to see guys like us anymore, Petey and Rob. But I think if you get rid of fighting, it changes the whole dynamic of the game. And you can see that where – there's a lot more pests out there. There's a lot more rats. There's a lot more guys who just feel super tough and brave because there's no one to answer the bell or, you know, pay consequences to. And it's just, I think it'll come around where teams realize that they need a little bit of toughness, a little bit of sandpaper. And it's funny that teams always go out and get that at the deadline. It's like, oh my gosh, we're not tough enough for the playoffs. We better go get something. Because GMs and players know that when, you know, push comes to shove, you got to have somebody in your corner to stick up for you. Because a team like Toronto, they ain't going to go anywhere if you don't have anybody to kind of pay the piper a little bit. That's why they got Simmons, they got Foligno, they got Bogosian on the back end. They kind of addressed that. But now fighting's not going anywhere. If it does, I'll never watch the NHL again.
Were you going to say something, Riv?
Well, I was just going to say, this shortened season, is there a team in the East that you like, and there's a team in the West that you like? And then who's your top team overall to win the Stanley Cup?
Well, gosh, it changes so often, doesn't it? It seems like once you have a handle on who's the best team in the East, you're like, okay, the Islanders are going to take off. Then all of a sudden they falter, and it's like, oh, the Capitals, boom, they're in. Now their goaltenders are having some issues. Then it's like, wait a minute, the Bruins all of a sudden woke up, and now they're a good team. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be Tampa Bay. I think they've just been having a really easy season. They haven't really been tested too much. Their division is good, but I think they're the top dog in that division. I think they'll come out of the East just because the Penguins, the Bruins, the Islanders, and the Capitals are just going to beat each other up. And when they meet Tampa Bay in that final round, they're just going to walk through them. And I think out of the West, gosh, you can't help but like what Colorado's doing. They're an absolute juggernaut. I think they're built really well. If Grubauer can get back to be healthy, that's their only Achilles heel. But if he comes back and Dubnyk kind of holds the fort for a little bit, I don't think anybody touches them. I don't know. What do you guys think? Any other teams that kind of jump?
You know, it's
you?
Amazing that you bring up the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I agree. I think they're just absolutely stacked. That being said, they lost 3-1 last night to Carolina, and do you know where Carolina sits in the NHL right now?
First place.
They're number two, I think.
Oh, second place.
They're number two behind Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, I have no idea who's going to win the Stanley Cup this year. You got Vegas in one division. You got Carolina, Florida Panthers, Colorado, Tampa Bay, Washington Islanders, Toronto. It's going to be really, really interesting to see who's going to take it.
It's going to be so neat when they actually do get to play against another team outside of their division. I think that's going to be the fun part. The thing with Tampa Bay, they're going to get Stamkos back, and they're going to get Kucherov back, and they're just going to be firing all cylinders. I just think once they get those two guys back, they're going to be a completely different team. It's like you're picking up an MVP for the playoff push. Like, no other team can say that.
John Scott joining us here on Last Second Notice, calling in to apologize to Rob Ray for not asking him permission to wear a sweater. We only have a couple more minutes here. Pat Marleau, I call him Pat, Patrick Marleau, all-time leader in games played in the NHL. Will it ever be broken? And I think you played with him, did you not?
I did. We had a nice stint together in San Jose, yeah.
Thoughts on his accomplishment?
You know, I don't think it'll ever be broken because he literally played almost 22 straight years without missing a game. It's quite the feat. That's incredible. Just to wrap your head around it, I think I talk about this a little bit. I think the 1,000 game mark has just kind of lost its luster because guys are so healthy nowadays. They play 1,000 games. I think you see 10 to 15,000 games a year. I think you'll see 1,500 games to be the new mark, but I can't see anybody playing that long and staying that healthy. And just it's incredible. He's played 900 straight games, I think, to this point. It's absolutely incredible. Rivs, you played a long time. Rob, you played a long time as well, and you're nowhere near, you know, the amount of games that he's played. So it's quite the feat. And the thing that I think is remarkable, he's never been the best player on his team. He's always been the second best player, the third best player, but he's just been a consistent, steady as she go type of guy. And it just goes to show you just kind of do the right thing, fly under the radar a little bit. He can go a long way because he's never really been a superstar. You know what I mean? He's never really been the guy for a team.
Does he go into the Hockey Hall of Fame?
That's the question, right?
Really? That's a question? Are you nuts?
John just said it.
I think it's a question.
He's never been the elite guy on his team. He's either two or three. And I mean,
yeah, I understand that. But on this merit alone, he goes in. This is, you know, he'll have his stall in there encased in glass or whatever. You know what I mean? But I do believe that this guy has lived up to, I mean, the second overall pick, 1997, been in the league ever since, was the youngest player in the league at one time. Like, that's Hall of Fame. Like, that's not dominance like McDavid or Gretzky and all that, but that's Hall of Fame.
Is longevity an asset? Is that something Hall of Fame worthy just because you stay healthy and don't get an injury?
In this game, I think so.
I agree. I think he'll go into the Hall, but I don't think it's as clear cut. Like, I don't think he'll be a first ballot.
I think he should be a first ballot, but not without the games. Like, if he doesn't get the games, in fact, if he doesn't get the games, I don't think he's in the Hall. I don't think he's in the Hall of Fame. How's that? If he doesn't accomplish this, I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame.
Agreed. Because I agree. I love the guy. I think he's been a great player. But when you think of a Hall of Fame guy, you think of like a Joe Thornton is a Hall of Fame guy. He's got Hall of Fame talent. I don't know. Patty's a great guy. I consider him a good friend, but it's not a clear cut yes, in my opinion. I would vote yes, but I would have to sit down and think on it a little bit.
I respect that, John, and I respect the short notice and the willingness to come on. Very good to hear from you and great to have you on. Hopefully we can do it again soon.
Respect the fact that I have jammed my six kids in a room upstairs so they'd be quiet for a little bit. That's the real heroes here, my kids shutting their mouths for 20 minutes.
Well, all stemmed from Rob Ray's bitterness of your number 32. So we thank you very much. Now you and your family can be bitter at him. So enjoy the rest of your day.
Never bitter at Rob. I love you, Rob.
We love you too, John.
All right, you guys. Thank you.
Take care. Thanks. John Scott, kind enough to join us. Have some fun, some good analysis. We'll be right back. Final segment of the Instigators coming up. WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG. Welcome back. Final segment. Thank you to John Scott for your time today. That was a lot of fun to get him on and kind of relive a funny moment. And Rob, I still stand by it. Bull crap that your number was given out. Sabres back to back Thursday, Friday, 7 o'clock puck drop, 6:30 pregame shows on MSG, 6 o'clock on WGR 550 Razor. You're on both games. Of course, what do you expect from the Sabres this weekend? I guess it's not the weekend. It's the next two games, we'll call it.
Well, I don't think I expect any different out of the Bruins coming in. I was interested to see last night if they were going to come in and try that whole physical game again against the Sabres and see what would happen. But it was like they avoided a lot of that. They just played the game. I think they realized that, you know, what they need to be successful. But I think the Sabres here just got to get by the whole – Boston Bruins, go play our game. You know, every team you talk about and you listen to coming in, the coaches, players all say, hey, we don't worry about what the opposition's going to do. We have to worry about what we're going to do. And I think that's perfect situation for the Sabres. Get back to what they were doing. Get back to what was working for them. If ultimately at the end of the night, it's not enough, then fine. But I think last night they stepped back a little too much. Going the wrong way a little too much and not quite as aggressive enough. Yeah. And you're going to have a different goaltender tomorrow night too.
Listen, Kucherov
is not playing tomorrow night. He's going to play Friday night. So you're going to get a different goaltender as well.
Yep. You know, Rob just said, you know, play your best game, go out and play your best game. And guess what? That still might not be good enough because in the reality of things, the Boston Bruins are a better hockey team than Buffalo Sabres. So if Boston plays their best and Buffalo plays their best, Boston's still winning the game. But what you're looking for is tomorrow night or on Thursday night, you're going to have a rookie goaltender that's probably going to play his first game ever in Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. You want to make sure that you play well in front of this young guy, okay? All of our young guys, we talk about, they had a little bit of an off night against Boston. They did a lot of puck watching. They did a lot of looking at the stars. It's not about looking at the stars, but go and compete. Give everything that you possibly can. I loved what I've seen out of all these young guys, Dylan Cousins, Mittelstadt, Thompson, Asplund. You know, we have so many young guys in our lineup that are going to be sucking and taking and learning from all these games. Play with consistency. It's the most important thing for a young guy. It's one thing to play awesome one night, and then the next game you suck, and then the next game you play great, and then the next game you suck again. That's going to drive a coach nuts. be consistent in the way that you play. And I'm really excited about the Sabres getting another shot at Boston.
Consistency is key. Riv taking us right to the end of the show. As always, One Bills Live next. UPL maybe tomorrow. Get your pasta in your system, buddy. You're going. Instigators, we're out. Back tomorrow.